Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody here this morning. We have a couple of visitors here. Make sure you get a chance to get around and welcome them. We're glad they're here this morning. Glad everybody's here. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you because you first loved us. We love you for the great news that you brought us, the gospel that saves our souls, the sacrifice of yourself for our sins and our salvation. Lord, we want to praise you this morning. I pray you'd have your way in everything that's said and done here this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get a turn to the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter. I'm going to read a little bit of the first chapter, then talk about one verse, really. I'm going to start reading in verse 12 and read down through verse 17, just to give you a little bit of a background. Zacharias is a priest working in the temple. And he has his course of time that he has to serve and do the different things. He works at in the incense area, the area of burning incense before the altar of incense. And he's in his work. He's at Jerusalem at the temple doing his job. He's inside the temple while the people are outside praying. And it says an angel appeared unto him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And in verse 12 it says, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. I'm going to take a break there just a minute, because I just thought about something as I was studying this and going over it, how you're going to find out he's old and well stricken in years. You look at the passage, and all of a sudden you realize he's been praying probably for a long, long, long time for a son, for a child to be born to his wife. And it finally comes true. God's going to grant him his request. Don't quit praying when God gives you something to pray for. Keep praying until it comes through. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And I want to concentrate this morning on verse 17. The statement that the angel makes about John Baptist, John, the baby that's going to be born, the baby that's not even been conceived yet, because he's still in Jerusalem, his wife is back home. And he says this about him, and he shall go before the Lord their God, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I thought this was interesting. I thought we could learn a few things from this, looking at it. We think of Elijah as a very famous man. We like the spirit and the power of Elijah. We always talk about it. We love listening to sermons about Elijah, and I was thinking about what he's famous for. He's famous for calling fire down from heaven. That's the one thing we always remember about Elijah. He called fire down from heaven. The first time he had asked God to not have it rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. There wasn't even so much as dew on the ground. God closed up the heavens. God closed down the water. He was trying to get a hold of their attention. And Elijah finally gets together with everybody, and he builds an altar, and he has a contest with the prophets of Baal, and they have a contest of who can call God down to have fire fall down from heaven and consume the sacrifice that they made. And Elijah prays. Fire falls down from heaven, it licks up the sacrifice, it licks up the wood, it licks up the stones, it licks up the water, and we have a great, great resurrection, a great revival in Israel called fire down. He also closed up the heavens. And you find in the first chapter of 2 Kings that when the king sent soldiers to him, come up here, thou man of God. He said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee. And it did, and it happened twice. We remember that about Elijah. Even the disciples remembered that about Elijah. If you look a few chapters over in the book of Luke, you'll find that when Jesus was passing through a certain town, and they rejected him, they didn't want him, they moved him right along, they didn't want to have him stay there, they didn't want to spend any time with him, they didn't want to listen to what he had to say. And James and John got together with Jesus and said, should we call fire down from heaven? Consume these people for their respect for the way that they treated you. Jesus said, no, you don't know what spirit you're of. We remember the boldness of Elijah. Walked in and told King Ahab one day, it's not going to rain till I say so. And then he walked and said, it's going to rain. There's going to sound of an abundance of rain. God's going to send some rain. He was bold to approach the king and bold to say what he needed to say in the prophecies and the preaching he had. But I thought about it as I was looking at this, and that's not the spirit that I think the Lord's talking about here. If you look in 1 Kings, chapter 19. After he's called fire down from heaven, after he's destroyed the prophets of Baal, he's left off in a corner of the Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. He's been 40 days and 40 nights without eating, spending some time with God, trying to get close to God. God's talking to him, and he makes this comment. He makes it twice in verse 10 and verse 14 of chapter 19 of 1 Kings. He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I was thinking about this, and the spirit that the angel Gabriel is prophesying about John the Baptist, I don't think was the spirit so much of boldness or calling fire down, that type of a spirit. He was talking about the jealousy for the Lord God. Don't you think that would be something that we ought to have more of, more in our lives, more in our way of thinking, and more preachers that had the jealousy for the Lord God, that they would be jealous of the Lord's glory, jealous of the Lord's majesty, glory, jealous of the Lord's getting the credit for the things that he does. Don't you ever get tired of watching things on TV that are fascinating and they talk about evolution doing this and all these accidents that came about and the millions of years of accidents that happened. And I want you to know that God created the heavens and the earth and God created you and me and God didn't make any accidents with it. There's a plan, there's a purpose, and it functions a certain way, and all of that declares that there is a God. We need to remember that we ought to be jealous for the Lord God. We ought to be jealous for the God that created this earth, that created you and me, that gave you the ability to have children and raise those children, gave you a book that you can read and know about God, gave you the heavens so that you can look at it and know the glory of God. We ought to be jealous for the Lord. We ought to be jealous that he gets his due, knowing that he's the creator and he's the savior and he's the only one that forgives sins and he's the only one that's worthy of our praise and our honor. He ought to be the one that we praise because he's worthy of our praise. We ought to be more jealous of the Lord God. What a spirit to have in our day and age if we could be more jealous for what God is trying to say and God is trying to teach so that God gets the glory. God gets the credit. God gets blessed because of what he did. Another thing about Elijah that I was looking at, that you see it in that verse, he was steadfast, he was loyal, he was faithful, and he was all of that when he had to stand all by himself. A jealousy for the Lord God, if you get really jealous for God, you get close to God, you get committed to God, you're going to find yourself being steadfast and having to hold on and be committed to God so that you stand for him no matter what happens, even if you stand all by yourself. He came to find out that he wasn't the only one standing, but he was willing to stand. Willing to stand there for God all by himself. If I'm the only one, God, I'm still going to be jealous. I'm still going to care. I'm still going to praise your name. I'm still going to give you the glory. I'm still going to preach your gospel because I am jealous for the Lord God. We need a spirit of jealousy for the Lord. Then the other thing it said, the second thing it said, it turned the hearts of the fathers to the children. I was looking at that and I was thinking about families. The quote here that the angel is making is from the very last verse of the Old Testament where he says that he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And I thought about family. You ever think how important it is to have a good family in this day and age or in any day and age? It's important that you have built a family that is turned towards God and focused on God and build a family the way God wants you to build a family. God says it's important to have the hearts of the fathers turned towards the children. It behold very important for every one of us so that our hearts as a father are turned to making our children the very best godly servants and godly people that they can be. Teach them the Word of God. Teach them to know God. Teach them to love God. Teach them to walk with God. And even teach them to be jealous for God. And we are going to teach them that if we're not jealous for God ourselves. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But we need to be teaching our children to love God and give Him the glory and the honor and the praise and the credit that He deserves, because He's worthy of that. And if we don't teach our children, if we're not committed to our children, if we're not committed to our family, they're not going to learn how to serve God. And our world is going to go right down for falling into sin and going after their own selfishness because they didn't follow after God. You parents, me as a parent, me as a grandparent, you as parents, you as grandparents, you as young people growing up and going to be parents, you need to think about marriage when it comes down to it, that you need to build a home. You need to commit to building a home and a family that follows the principles and rules of God so that you can raise a people and a nation and a family that loves God. One of the things God wanted to do with the people of Israel was to build a nation that the rest of the world would look at and say, I want that kind of a nation. I want that kind of a justice. I want that kind of a reality in my life, in my nation, so that I can follow after God and have the blessings of God. Well, I don't build nations necessarily, but I do build families. And you can build families, and nations are built by families. And that's the way we need to build families, based on the principles of God, with a jealousy to serve God. This past week, we buried a lady. Remember one of the things that they said about her, and I was impressed. We ought to be impressed. She had been married for 66 years. 66 years she was the wife of one man. The mother to three kids. And grandmother to I don't know how many kids. And they told me, but I forgot. But I was impressed with the fact that at some young age, she quit her own personal life and she gave up her life to build a family, to commit to a family, to commit to something that wasn't just self-satisfying and self-gratifying and self-purposing. She decided to build a family and she gave her life to it. That's the way we ought to be. We need to put ourselves out there, commit to families, commit to raising our kids, commit to teaching our kids. Remember what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 where he goes and says that we need to teach our kids. We need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. And we need to teach our kids to follow Him. We need to talk about it when we're rising up. We need to talk about it when we're laying down. We need to talk about it when we're eating. We need to put signs on the doorposts of our house and put them around the house so that our children are taught to remember God. We need to build a family that honors God. We need to build a family that's jealous of God. And we also need to be an example in our house that when our kids are watching us and we go through troubles and we go through trials and we go through heartache and we go through problems and we go through whatever, even success, that our focus and our desire and our joy is to give God the glory and to give God the praise and to give God the service and to serve Him with all of our heart and with all of our soul. Be jealous to serve God in our home. Be faithful. Be faithful to God, be faithful to our family, be faithful to be examples, be faithful to our neighbors, be faithful to do what God wants us to do so that we are representatives of God in our home. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. You know, it's important that we give up being so selfish for ourselves and take care of our kids and take care of our family, take care of our nation. One of the things that you look at the prophecy there in Malachi talks about a curse. If we don't do it, lest the Lord get angry and there be a curse upon us. It also says that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, after he's talking about raising the family and doing the different things you need to do, it says, unless the Lord gets angry and destroy you from off the face of the earth. There's a blessing and there's a curse. Choose God. Follow after God. Build a family that follows God. And see if you can avoid the curse. Because God blesses the people that follow him. The third point I want to look at is turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. The first thing I thought about is there's an obvious obedience problem here. Okay, the big thing here is, listen, this looks like the wisdom of the just, but there's a wisdom of the just because there's some people that are obedient and some people that are not obedient. And we need to deal with the disobedience in our life so that we can get obedient to God and serve God and follow God and get involved and get serious about this thing about serving God and what we do and how we do it. No matter what it is. We shouldn't be disobedient to God. We shouldn't be disobedient to the heavenly calling. We shouldn't be disobedient to what God says about right and wrong. We shouldn't be so selfish that we forget what God or ignore what God says, because God is going to punish disobedience. God is going to judge disobedience. God is going to judge us for what we do and how we do it. And he says we need to turn the disobedience in our life to the wisdom of the just. You ever think about what the wisdom of the just is? Job 28:28, Job makes this statement that the Lord has said unto man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, that's understanding. You want to know what the wisdom of the just is? I'm going to obey God. I'm going to make God my Lord. I'm going to make God my master. I'm going to make God the one that I listen to and I follow, and I'm going to do what he tells me to do because he's God. He's my creator. He made me. He made me the way I am, and I need to correct myself and discipline myself so that God is honored in my life. You know what the wisdom of the just is? It's to obey God. It says in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. We need to be walking justly before God. We need to walk humbly before God. We need to remember, it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about what I think. It's not about what I feel. Not about what I just crave. Do I please God? Do I follow after God? Do I walk after God? Am I going to do what God tells me? God gives me statutes and judgments and commandments to follow. Do I listen to those? Do I try and follow them? Do I put them into practice in my life? Do I do justly? In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 5, we talk about a just man. I'm going to read it. It says, but if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and listen to what this man does. Listen to how he controls himself. Listen to how he disciplines himself. Listen to how he channels his actions and his decisions and what he does into following certain rules in the way of God's life. He says, if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, and hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes and kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just. That's what God calls just. That's the way God wants us to be. God wants us to be careful about how we treat our neighbors and careful how we control our appetites and control our desires and control our impulses. He wants us to care about our neighbors so that if they're hurting and they're in trouble, we'll be able to help them and willing to help them without worrying about the cost to ourselves, without worrying about what's going to make me better or make me money. We need to be careful of our neighbors, not to oppress them, not to oppress them by violence, not to oppress them by cursing, not to oppress them by cursing them in our mind or the way we think, not to oppress them by doing unjustly and dealing unjustly with people and taking chances to cheat. Remember growing up, one of the things that I remember is that when somebody would give me too much change after buying something at a store, we went back to the store and gave them the money back. Why? Because that was just, because that was fair, that was right. You need to practice doing some things because they're right and they're just before God just because they're right and they're just before God. Because I want to be just before God. The wisdom of the just is to follow after God. Wisdom of the just is to obey and do righteously. I was also thinking about that word just. The wisdom of the just is that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to justify me. I am just because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He is just and the justifier of them that believeth on Him. It says we're justified by faith and we're justified in His blood. Jesus is the one, the just, who died for us, the unjust. He went once to the cross of Calvary, the just, who died for us, the unjust, so that we might be saved. If there's anything I want to know about the wisdom of the just, it's that Jesus Christ is my justification. I am just because of Jesus. I am going to be accepted in God's heaven because of Jesus Christ, because He died for me. Amen. And I'm just because of Him. Amen. We need to be jealous for the Lord. We need to live for Him. Why? Because He's given us justice. He's justified us. He's given us the justice before God. We have the righteousness of God in Him, and we can live forever before Him because He's just and the justifier of them that tell, that come to Him. Last point this morning. Make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Are you prepared for the Lord? Are you prepared to live for the Lord? You're prepared to serve God. You're prepared to make your life over to Him. You're prepared so that God can take your life and do with it what He wants to do with it. Are you prepared for the Lord? He's coming. He's coming very soon. We've been saying that for 2,000 years, but I'm telling you, He's coming. The promise of His coming is sure. He said, surely I come quickly, and to Him it may be quickly. And to us it may seem like a long time, but He said, I'm coming. We can count on it. We need to be prepared for His coming. We need to be prepared for living for Him day in and day out. We need to be prepared for His kingdom whenever He comes so that our standing before God is that we are prepared and looking for Him when He comes. He cautions us to be ready for Him. He cautions us to be prepared for Him. Are you prepared for Jesus this morning? Are you prepared for God this morning? Are you prepared to give Him your life and your heart on a daily basis and serve Him? Are you jealous enough for God that you'll give Him your life? Are you jealous enough for God so that you say, Lord Jesus, here it is, take it, use it, use me any way you want to. Can you give up your life and say, I'll be consumed for you, Jesus. I'll live for you, Jesus. I'll give you my finances. I'll give you my way of thinking. I'll give you my way of acting. I'll give you my desires and my ambitions. I'll give it all to you because you're worthy of it. We need to be jealous of the Lord God because He's worthy of it. We need to be prepared to give Him what we've got. We need to be prepared to give Him our finances and our tithes and our time and our offerings and our children and our families and everything we've got. Give Him our career so that He can use us the way He sees fit, because one day He's going to build a kingdom and we're not going to be misfits if we haven't given Him our life and corrected ourselves and prepared ourselves to be His servant and His faithful servant following Him in this life. We need to be prepared to serve the Lord. It says in 2 Timothy, I think of Ezra when I think of prepared. It says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared to every good work. You know, we ought to be preparing ourselves for the master's use. We ought to be preparing ourselves for every good work. We ought to be prepared by serving God and cleaning ourselves up so that God can get use of us the way He wants to get use of us, and get prepared for Jesus' coming, for Jesus' kingdom, for Jesus' service while we're living here on this earth day in and day out, so that God Almighty is glorified in our lives, glorified in the way we think, glorified in what we do, and we can give Him the glory and honor in all that we are. Amen. Amen. Jealous for the Lord. Praise the Lord.
time allowed. I'm sorry? I didn't take my phone allowed.